the devil and demons, a line of teaching that we haven't taught much in the church generally. And so let me review, and then we'll pick up from where we stopped. Revelation chapter 12, verse 12. The Bible tells us that the devil knows his time is drawing near for him to be cast into the lake of fire and all of that. And so he's busy trying to do his stealing and killing and destroying and so forth. So you've noticed things are getting worse out there in the world in some cases. That's the reason why. Jesus told his disciples, and by proxy to all of us, in Mark 16, 15 through 18, to preach the gospel, to cast out devils, to speak with other tongues, and heal the sick. And the church at large isn't doing much of that at all. And so we've been led to teach on this subject of devils, of the devil and demons. There's only one devil. Plenty of demons, and this series is quite crucial. Jesus said, "Let's read it again. Look at Mark 16. Okay, this is the commander in chief giving orders to the church, and thank you, Lord. Mark 16, verse 15." And he said unto them, go ye into all the world. This is not just for the 12, but for all of us. And preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. That's us. In my name shall they cast out devils. See, he mentioned that first. We're not doing much of that. We haven't had much teaching about it at all. They shall cast out devils. And then some other things that he said to do that we don't do much. And so that's one reason why this series is important. Now look at Matthew 16. Let's begin from that today. Matthew 16. I have to periodically remind you how important this series is, lest we lose sight of that fact. Matthew 16, look at verse number 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I am? And they said, some said this, some said the other. And Peter spoke up, verse 15. Jesus said, but who do they say that I am? And Peter spoke up, verse 16. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus commended him. Well done, Peter. Blessed art thou, verse 17, Simon Barjona. For flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. He heard straight from heaven. Dang. Is there another place you can hear from? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, he also heard from that place not too long after this moment. He heard straight from heaven. And Jesus commends him, verse 18, and talks about what it's going to be, verse 19. Look at verse 20. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ, because it wasn't time yet. From that time forth, he began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Peter didn't get that raised on the third day part. He heard suffer and killed, and he heard from hell. He had just heard from heaven. But now, all of a sudden, he is hearing from hell. This is why this series is important. We have to be aware of that. He did. Then Peter took him. I never noticed that until when I was studying this last few days. He took him. You know what that means? He grabbed Jesus by the arm. Come here, Jesus. Let me straighten you out about what you just said about suffering and dying. You can't do that. That's not what happened to you. He took him away from the other 11. He did. He said he took him. What does that mean? Oh my. I thought, my goodness. And Peter took him. Grabbed him by the arm. Moved to the side. And began to rebuke him. What was he hearing from? Not from heaven. He was hearing from hell. After having just gloriously heard from heaven. Who knows how long? This might have been a matter of minutes. So all this calls for vigilance. This is real. You can be hearing from heaven one moment, and if you're not vigilant, the next set of communication might not come from heaven. He began to rebuke him. Oh boy. Imagine you rebuking Jesus, huh? Saying, be it far from you. No. He was sincere, probably, you know. You can't be talking about dying, Jesus. That is demoralizing to the group. So that's why he took him to the side. You can't say that to these guys. They're gonna be demoralized. So when we go back there, you straighten this out. You hear me, Jesus? I'm reading that thinking, oh wow, this is what happened. He took him to the side, began to rebuke him. What are you doing talking about dying and all that? Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And Jesus was upset. You see that? Verse 23. Not at Peter. But here is his chief disciple. Who had just heard from heaven. And Jesus had commended him gloriously. Woo! That's what I'm talking about, Peter. Oh yeah. I hope the rest of this bunch get like you. And minutes later, he's shouting from hell. Jesus is like, oh, OMG. He's lost it. And if he has lost it, what about this other bunch? Boy, have I got work to do with these guys? And he's upset at the devil. For deceiving his chief disciple. He is. Verse 23 says, but. See, so that but is a reflection, is a reaction to the took him. But Jesus turned. What do you think that means? Here's what I see. I see Peter taking him by the hand, and I see Jesus doing this. I do. Because what Peter was telling him was straight from hell. And he knew it. Peter didn't, but Jesus did. He had come from listening to heaven to listening to a demon. Trying to get Jesus not to go to the cross. Where would we all be if he hadn't gone to the cross? You see how huge this is? Jesus saw how huge it is, and he was not happy at all. He turned and said unto Peter, huh? He was looking right at Peter, but he was talking to the demon behind it all. I know, you know, you say stuff like that, it just sounds so crass and so, even in church, it sounds like you said something very unusual, yet it's in the Bible, folks. I didn't write that. Who do you think was telling Peter all of this? In fact, we know from what Jesus did. He turned around and said, get thee behind me, Satan. So he made it quite clear who had been talking to Peter. Satan had been. So when I say he just was listening with demon, I'm just quoting Jesus here. Even if you don't speak like that, furnished Christian, there are demons, whether you want to accept it or not. Here's an example right here. You just got to talking, just got to being commanded by Jesus, hearing from heaven, and now a demon is talking to him. He doesn't know it, but Jesus does. And Jesus looks at him, but talks to the devil behind it all. And says, get thee behind me, Satan. For you are an offense unto me. I told you it was upset. It was upset. He was so glad somebody got it. They got the revelation of who I really am. But that same person has just been messed up by the demon. He's like, man. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou severest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. And went ahead and worked with them and so forth. But that lets us know that this is real. This is not something, you know, we're not going out looking at demons under every rock or something. This is up front and center. That you can be on the line with heaven and hell bugging and trying to get through to you. And in some cases, succeed. To the point where you're rebuking Jesus. Imagine that. And so this is to say that right after Peter had just yielded to heaven magnificently, he turned around and yielded to the devil horribly. What does that mean? That demonic influence, even over believers, is possible. Demonic influence. If you stop and think about it, every time you sin, that means because of the Holy Spirit leading you. Amen? Oh, yeah. Well, that wasn't God. So demonic influence, even over believers, is possible. Jesus knew it, and hence he addressed his words directly, aggressively, and commandingly to the devil, even though he was looking at Peter. He knew who the real culprit was. Simply using Peter as a way to communicate. My. So, this calls for vigilant. It indicates that this series we talk about is quite important. No, we're not out looking for the devil. The devil is out looking for us. Remember what 1 Peter said? Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, goes about looking whom he may devour. We're not looking for him, he's looking for us. But what we must know is be ready when he shows up. Peter could have, when that thought entered his mind, he could have said, wait just a minute. I may not understand why Jesus is talking about dying and suffering and all that, but he's Jesus, I'm not. So what I'm hearing must not be coming from heaven. What I heard a while ago came from heaven. Jesus confirmed it, but this must not be. He could have gone through that had he known any better. We know better. Or we have to know better. So that we don't make Peter's mistake. That's the point of this series. Alright, go to Mark chapter 5. That's where we were. We told you that you're talking about the general habits of demons. We told you that demons like to inhabit people. Because that's how they get their widest expression. Kind of like being, as a human being, you can't go underwater unless you have, we'll talk about deep sea diving, you have to have your scuba diving stuff with you, or you're not going to last. You're not going to go that far. You can't go up to space without your spacesuit. Likewise, the devil can't express himself much at all on this earth unless he's able to inhabit a body, a human body or an animal body. And so he likes to do that. And so he got a hold of this person in the city of Gadara. And he was so messed up, so almost completely taken over, that he was hurting himself, tearing himself up. And I've said before, if you hear a voice telling you to hurt yourself, that is a demon. That is not in your mind. Talk to it. Tell it, no, I'm not going to do that. If they can talk to you, you can talk to them. Amen. Say, no, I won't do that. In fact, shut up. In fact, you can get, I'm not going to cuss. I'm not about to cuss, but I'm looking for. You can get so fast at them to shut his hell up. Because it is hell. It's going to pop to you. Amen. Yeah, if they can talk to you, you can talk to them. Oh, yeah. Them voices in here, talk to them for a chance. Tell them no. And so this man was almost completely taken over, but he was able to run to Jesus and get some help. And God delivered him. Okay? Look at verse number. So we got to the point where the devils besought Jesus to, look at verse 12. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus said, go. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, pigs, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Now, this man wasn't possessed by 2,000 devils. He was possessed by one demon who allowed 2,000 more to come in. It's quite clear when you look at verse number nine. And he asked him, what is your name? Huh? The one chief demon. You know there's a hierarchy in the realm of demons, right? We talked about it. Ephesians chapter 6, there's principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. Well, look at it. Maybe you don't remember. It says hierarchy. And so one of those more highly ranked demons possessed the man and made room for all these other ones to come in. But that's it. Ephesians. Look at Ephesians 6. I'm trying to get there. I'm talking. There's a hierarchy in the realm of demons. Okay? Verse 12. Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's humans. We don't wrestle against humans. But against principalities. That's one order of demons. Against powers. That's another order. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. That's another order. By the way, those are the ones that are most prevalent. Huh? Notice it says, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's a hierarchy. And so one of these higher ranked demons, called himself Lee, what did he say? What is your name? Jesus said, I'm back in Mark now. Mark chapter 5 verse 9. What is your name? He said, my name is Legion, for we are many. So he is the one who possessed the man and led the other 2,000 coming. Okay? And so then, verse 14, and they that fed the swine fled and told the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done, and they came to Jesus, and they see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion. So even they knew that. So he was possessed by the devil, actually mean demon, the high rank. You know, there's only one devil. And had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they raised up their hands and worshiped the Lord and said, oh, hallelujah. Is that what they did? And they were afraid. They should have been appreciative. This is the guy we couldn't handle. We try to bind him, says right in that chapter, he was just cut them loose. He's finally free. Sitting there like a regular human being, but they were afraid. Oh. So afraid, they told Jesus to leave them alone, to leave them, to depart. You would think you'd be the house of this man. If he can get this demoniac delivered, what else can he do for us? You know, you think it would take. No, that's not what they thought. The same demon, spirit of fear, they were all work the same, got on them and told them, you know, send him out, send him out, so he doesn't mess with our other operations in this area. Isn't that amazing? They were afraid. and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and who concerning and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Instead of rolling down the red carpet. And he did. You don't want Jesus? He's not gonna say. Huh? He's not gonna tell what else he came to do. You remember we talked about this. He crossed the lake just to go to the other side to set this person free. Maybe there were other things he was supposed to do, but they wouldn't let him do it. So he departed. Amen. Mm-hmm. All right. So in reading this story, there's a couple of things that we should handle in the time that we have left. I've thought about this. So the demons asked Jesus to let him go to the swine. Apparently, they didn't know what was going to happen after that. Because once they went into the swine went into the water, committed suicide, and the demons were immediately disembodied again. Now they had to go find some other body to inhabit. They didn't know that. They didn't think through that, did they? They did not think through that. They should have, but they didn't. That's not too smart. So we could say that some devils are dumb, some demons are dumb, right? Mm-hmm. Now, what about the folks who own the swine? I thought about, I said, Lord, this is a business. I said, Lord, talk to me about this. You know, these guys are raising pigs. You know, some people do that for a living. 2,000 pigs, that's a lot of money. And so yeah, you let them go in the thing and they just, yeah, they lost their business, Lord. Where is the compensation? I thought about that. And then the Lord let me know that the key here is how much worth the Lord put in delivering one human being. In other words, in his estimation, one human being is worth more than 2,000 hogs. Amen. You remember, do you not? Matthew chapter 5, when Jesus said, why worry about what you're going to eat and wear and all that? Look at the birds. They don't fly. I mean, they don't sow, they don't farm, and yet, Lord takes care of them. Are you not much worth more than that? Remember that? Matthew chapter 5. So in his estimation, a human being is worth a lot more than that. By the way, I think I have the scripture here. I'm not turning to you because we don't have time. That's Matthew chapter 6, verse 26. Are you not much better than the birds? Why worry? Okay? And so in his eyes, that's how he was thinking about it. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean, look at Proverbs 12. That doesn't mean that you can take your shotgun and go to the bush and start target practicing on rabbits and just killing things indiscriminately. That's ungodly. Profoundly ungodly. So we've got to say both sides. On the one hand, one human being is worth more than 2,000 hogs and some. On the other, that does not mean that those lives are worthless. Amen? Proverbs chapter 12. Look at verse number 10. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. Huh? So you can't go to the bush and start target practicing with deer and all kinds of animals, just kill him and just leave him all over. No, that's ungodly. That's ungodly. So we gotta have a balance to that. We have to know that. And then he told me that they didn't have to get mad with him. He had more to offer. Like I just said, they could have thought, hey, look, this man has delivered this crazy guy that we couldn't help. What all can he do for us? Let's roll him on the red carpet and let's see what else he can do for us. He could have more than made it up for those guys that lost their hogs and so on. But they didn't give him a chance to make it up for them. They sent him off. So what is he supposed to do? Apparently to them, as long as he left their town, they were okay with losing all those hogs. When he wanted to make it up to them, they didn't give him a chance. Amen. And so when I asked, that's what he told me. Their reaction could have been, wow, any man that can do this can help us in many other areas, so let's roll out the city, roll out the red carpet. Let's invite the mayor and the city council, and I didn't do that. Okay. So, demons like to inhabit bodies. Okay, but look at go back to Mark now. We'll introduce this and then we'll pick it up from there because we don't have time to get into it. Something else here that we should note in the same story. Mark chapter 5, look at verse number 10. And he besought him much that he would not send them. Notice it said he besought Jesus. That one chief demon besought Jesus much that he would not send them away out of the country. Okay? What does that mean? What it means is certain kinds of demons like to gang up in certain places, certain localities. Certain kinds of demons like to be in certain localities. He told Jesus, please don't send us out of this locality. We like it. And they tend to give that locality its character, especially its vice character. Unless they are resisted, demons dictate the character of a city. You think of a city like Las Vegas, right? Cities that are known for certain things. That means a demon behind all of that is enforcing that. Amen. You know, they used to talk about Texas as a Bible Belt. Right? Remember that? We haven't heard that in a long time. But then you have that you have a corresponding, description on the other side of that, where there are certain centers of evil, certain vices that tend to concentrate in certain places, being pushed by certain demons. There are specialties in the realm of demons. Oh yeah. Demons in the city will do their very best to get into the churches in the city unless they are deterred and withstood. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Hey, here's an outstandingly evil situation in church. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. It's writing to the church of Corinth now. Fornication among you, and such fornication, not just regular fornication, but such fornication as it is not so much as named among the ungodly, that a man should take his father's wife. Incest. In the church. And you guys haven't done anything about it, Paul says. And you are puffed up. Puffed up? And have not rather mourned that he that has done this deed might be taken over, taken away from among you. Why? Corinth was known as one of the cities of that era that was one of the most licentious cities of all. I mean, you talk about all sorts of sexual, what should I say? You got it in Corinth. I mean, all sorts of stuff. Prostitution, that's even benign. I mean, there's just some stuff you don't even know how to talk about. And that crept into the church. To where that a member of the church was messing up with his father's wife. And the church kind of didn't do much about it. Why? Because the city of Corinth had been taken over by what we could call demons that pushed sexual immorality. So much so you got in the church and they didn't do anything about it until Paul found out about the situation and rebuked them about it. And so demons like to concentrate in certain places and make that city area look like them. Take on their own attributes. That's one of the habits of demons. Okay, I did say that I would say that and then quit, so I'll quit. we'll pick up from there next Sunday. Plenty to know about the realm of the wicked spirits. And one of these days, I'm sure the Lord will lead me to teach about the realm of the good spirits, the realm of angels. Oh, I'm looking forward to that too. Father, we thank you. We praise you, we bless you. That a baby was born called Jesus, Savior. We celebrate him this time of the year. And he grew up in the grace of God, did the work of God, gave himself up, was crucified, died, went to hell, and took back authority for us and gave us authority over demons and the devil. We have that authority. Thank you for revelation about that authority. How that we might exercise it to help people who are being oppressed, maybe even possessed and harassed by demons. Perhaps some have sought medical care and just haven't been able to be helped. But oh, we have the answer. We have the answer. And Jesus has deputized us. Go, preach the gospel, cast out devils. Thank you for teaching us about how to do so, that we might help people who haven't been helped up to this point. We praise you, Father, and we bless you. In the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. My friend, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you don't, he's ready to start a relationship with you. He died for you. He loves you. He wants to lead you through life. Be your guide through life. All you have to do is receive Him as your Lord and Savior. How do you do that? I'm going to lead you in a prayer. If you say, repeat this prayer after me sincerely, not just mouthing it, but you really mean it, at the end of it, or during it, really, He would have come into your heart, and you can start your journey with Him. So say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I receive you now as such. I receive my prayer language. I receive direction to join a church where I will be taught how to live a victorious Christian life. I receive healing for my body. I receive divine finances. I receive healing for my family. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus to die for me. I pray all this and believe I receive in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Friend, if you pray that prayer, your journey has begun. I'm not promising you that all will be hunky-dory, but I'm promising you, you'll always have the answer. Glory to God. You'll always have the key to unlock the situation or to lock certain situations. That I can guarantee you. Because we do have a devil out here, you know. He's going to do his best to make life miserable for you. But all you've got the answer. His name is Jesus. The key. Amen, amen. All right. If you live anywhere around here in Austin, come see us. There's plenty of room here for you. If not, keep watching. Because we'll be back next time, same place. Amen.